If you brought your Bible tonight, I want you to turn to John 10. If you didn't, that's all right. There's a Bible there in front of you if you'd like to use one that's provided by the church. And I want to show you a passage of Scripture that is in keeping with our Advent theme. The last several Sundays of Advent, we've been looking at the promises of Christmas, the promises that Jesus made. And I know that last Sunday was technically the last Sunday of Advent, but I have made a decree, all right, that I'm not going to end it until this coming Sunday. And so I'm going to squeeze out one more sermon on the Christmas theme this coming Lord's Day, the Lord willing. But we've been looking at some of the gifts that the incarnate Son gave us. What did we get when Jesus came? And we've spoken of this as maybe looking at a tree in our mind, a Christmas tree. And there are gifts there with our name on it. And we open these gifts, and what are they? And we've talked about some of them, one being everlasting life. The first Sunday of Advent, we talked about the gift of everlasting life that Jesus came to give. And then we talked about the gift of living water and what that meant, that Jesus came and he said, I've come to give you living water. And then we talked about the gift of freedom, that Jesus comes to give people freedom. And he said, whoever the Son sets free is really free indeed. And we come tonight to another one, another incredible gift, really, really a big gift, given to those who believe, given to you and me, from Jesus. Gifts that depend upon the fact that he was born as a baby in Bethlehem's manger. If that didn't happen, there are no gifts to give. But there are some gifts because God gave the gift of his Son. And I want you to listen to this one from John chapter 10. And I'll read verse 27 through verse 30. Listen to God's word again. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. The word of the Lord, and may he bless its proclamation. Of course, this is a very strategic moment in the Gospel of John as John unfolds the life of Jesus before us. And Jesus, as you've already guessed, identifies himself in John chapter 10 as a shepherd. And he's spoken of himself in some other ways. He's described himself as he would even in this passage as a door. And there are other images that will be used by Jesus to speak of who he is. But here he's the shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And of course, that was a very familiar thing. You know, if you were in the first century and you were walking around maybe with Jesus or in that area, you would see shepherds everywhere. You knew exactly what shepherds do, what they're supposed to do, the kind of men, kind of character, the kind of physical attributes they're supposed to have. And Jesus says he is a good shepherd, a great shepherd. And I want you to think about the kind of shepherd that Jesus is. Right here in this passage, he says something remarkable that would have really registered with those listening to Jesus. They would have stopped and thought. Maybe some of them would have rejected what he just has said. But he says in this incredible episode where he's describing the work of the great shepherd, he says, I and the Father are one. Now, make no mistake about it. This is an explicit claim to deity. The Lord Jesus did not wink, he did not stutter, he did not hesitate to ascribe to himself full divinity. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he would say. And he spoke of himself as the great I am. All those I am sayings, I am the bread of life, I am the water of life, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He deliberately used those two words, I am, because that's the sacred name of God that only God would be referred to in those terms. And so Jesus is a shepherd, but he's a different kind of shepherd. He is a divine shepherd. He's a great shepherd. He's the greatest shepherd. He is a good shepherd. He's the only truly good shepherd there is. I and the Father are one. So he isn't like any other shepherd you've ever heard of. And of course, he says in this passage that he's come because God, the Father, gave him in eternity some people to save. And a few weeks ago, we thought about this. This is a remarkable thing. Maybe you've never heard of this before, but this is what the Lord's referring to. In eternity, before there was even a thing called time or before there was space, there wasn't even darkness, because darkness is a thing. There was nothing, whatever nothing is. And at that time, and you can't even say it was a time, but in eternity past, God gave the Son a gift, and that gift was you. He gave the Son a people to save, a people who had not even been born yet, a people that he had set his love on in eternity, and he sent the Son to save you and me. He gave the Son the gift of a bride to go redeem. And that's what Jesus is referring to here. And then Jesus came to give those people who were given to him by the Father, he came to give them eternal life. Now, you've heard that 1,000 times, maybe 1,000,000 times, eternal life. Everybody knows John 3:16 backwards and forwards. Probably know it in Latin, right? Or Greek or something. You know John 3:16, it just rolls off your tongue. Everlasting life, eternal life, eternal life. But listen to the way that Jesus speaks of eternal life here. And this is where the message is. Listen again. I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish. And no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Now, did you hear the twists in those verses? There's some shifts in those verses that are very important. Jesus says twice that we will never perish. So, everlasting life, we will never, never perish. And that means that though we die physically, we will live forever. We will never perish. But more than that, no one can snatch us out of the hands of Jesus. So when you trusted in Christ to be your Savior, it's as if Jesus picked you up in his sovereign hands, and he's hiding you there. He's keeping you there. Why? He's the great shepherd. He is the divine shepherd. And he has you in his hands. But if that were not enough to make you feel better, he says it a different way in the next verse. He says, no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Now that's an incredible image. Jesus is holding us in his hand. Those he has saved, those like you and me who trusted in him, sinners saved by grace, Jesus is holding us in his hand. But then in some way that we can't explain, the Father holds us in his hand. And no one can take us out of the hand of Jesus, and no one can take us out of the hand of God the Father. That's incredible. You could not say it more powerfully than that. The Son of God is saying to you, if you believe in him and have turned to him in faith and in repentance and embraced him as your Lord and Savior, then you are secure forever. Forever. Absolutely forever. The men who first heard this were about to be hurled headlong into a world that would execute them. Almost every one of them would die as martyrs. About the only one we know that didn't have a horrible demise was the old one, John, who wrote this gospel. And tradition says he died as an old man. But the rest of these men, the rest of the apostles, died very horrible deaths. The world they were sent into hated them and would fight them and curse them and throw them in jail and beat them and do all these evil things against them. And they were able to go the next step day after day because they knew they were in the hand of Jesus and they were in the hand of God the Father, and they would never, never, ever perish. And I say that tonight to you with a great deal of conviction and passion in my heart, because the world has changed before our eyes. And maybe this Christmas Eve, it looks a little more perilous out there than it did last year, and maybe the year before, the decade before. The world is changing very rapidly. And there are many who are looking ahead and are saying that there are perilous times coming for the Church of Jesus Christ. And that's normal. That's always been the case. In fact, what's abnormal is the peace we've known for so long. That's abnormal. What is absolutely par for the course is difficulty. So how do we go not just past tomorrow, but into 2022, which someone humorously referred to yesterday as Catch 22? Well, it's this truth. It is this truth that if you belong to Christ, He has completely paid for your sins. There's nothing left to pay. There's no wrath coming upon you. You have been wrapped up in His loving arms, forgiven, justified, adopted, and you're being sanctified, and one day you're going to be glorified, and you could not be more secure than you are right now for all eternity. And let me bring that down a little closer to where you and I live. And this is just something that I thought of for myself this morning when I was out on a long walk. And I was thinking about this passage and what it would say to my heart first. And here's what it said to me. My security does not depend and has never depended upon how well I'm doing as a Christian or how well I'm doing as a minister of the gospel. It doesn't depend on my New Year's resolutions for 2022. My standing before Christ does not depend on anything except Him. I am secure in Him not because I'm strong, but because He's strong. I am secure in Him not because I'm faithful, but because He's faithful. I am secure in Him not because I am sinless. No, I'm a mess when compared to the holiness of God. I am secure in Him because I have a great shepherd who loved me first. It wasn't that I loved God and then He said, oh, there's a nice man who loves me. I think I'll love him back. No, the scripture says that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself when we hated Him. And so when this preacher hated the Lord before I came to know Him, He loved me first. His love never changes. And nothing that Wall Street does and nothing that China does or any other benevolent or not so benevolent dictator does, or nobody and nothing can change what Jesus has done for me and for you. Not even you. You can't change it. You are secure in Him. And that's why the church has marched forward for 2,000 years and been triumphant. Not because we're strong, but because we've been saved by one who is a great, great shepherd. You are safe tonight, and you always will be, because He came, He lived, He died, He conquered death and the grave, and He ascended to the Father, and now He is the commander in chief. All right? He is the commander in chief. And let me just be real pointed here, if you'll forgive me. Usually I don't speak so plainly. But a lot of us have pinned our hopes on what's going to happen in 2022, right? We're going to have an opportunity to vote again, right? And we've placed our hopes there. And I guess as far as that goes, that's okay. But that's not where our hope is, right? See, our security and our hope is not tied to anything down here. There are believers perhaps gathering in some country whose name we can't pronounce tonight under threat of death, and they're celebrating the advent of Christ. And they have the same security we do, even though they're living in a hostile environment that is absolutely going to get the best of them unless Jesus preserves them. And they have the same security. And no matter who wins the next election or the next, no matter who is ruling the world, we know that our commander in chief is King. And He's the one who's given you this promise. And so, can I put it this way? Everything is going to be just fine if you know Jesus. You don't have to worry. You don't have to read the paper and have your blood pressure pop through the roof. You can read the paper and say, Jesus is Lord, and I'm one of His little sheep. And the church I'm a part of, we're part of His sheep, and He will never let us go, and no one can snatch us out of His hand. And so bring it on, world. Bring it on. You won't have anything on the great shepherd. That's what Jesus is saying to you tonight. That's the promise He gives you. Security. Not just now, but for all eternity. Security. Security. Everything is okay because of Jesus. And the moment he came to Bethlehem's manger and was born and grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man, and then he followed God's plan and freely gave his life on the cross for our sins. And then just as he declared, 3 days later, he was raised from the dead. And then after that, he ascended to the Father, and now he is the King. It all happened exactly like God said it would. And you can count on that. And that's where our hope and our peace is. So all is well. It is always well for those who know the Great Shepherd. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father, thank you for your holy word, the words of Jesus. And we praise you for this wonderful image that he is a shepherd, a tender yet strong shepherd. He is a shepherd unlike any shepherd, one of us, and yet he is fully divine. And we praise you for who he is and what he did. And we, by faith, receive this precious gift tonight of security. Everlasting security, that no one can take us out of your hand or the Father's hand, that we are doubly held in the hand of our Savior and in the hand of our holy and loving Father. And we pray we'll leave tonight and go into the world with a sense of freedom and joy and security that we've not known before. And that whatever happens next, whatever perilous times come, whatever you send us in your providence, that we will find that there is an anchor for our souls, Jesus, his word, who he is, and what he did. Give us that security even now, and help us see the beauty, the wonder, the glory of your love as we take your supper. Unite our hearts around our Savior. Father, birth a love in us here that is so intense, so real, that even those who are lost will long for it. And let us live holy lives of obedience because you've loved us first. And you've commissioned us, Father, to be salt and light. And so give us feet that obey and do your will. Give us hearts that are affectionate for you, first of all. And give us a love for your church, for your word. And Father, do your will in us, whatever that is, for the glory of your Son. All of this we pray to the one who keeps us forever secure, even Jesus our Lord. Amen.